Hey guys.
Howdy, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Everyone.
Hello.
I heard it was a little brisk in the Northeast today.
Yeah, it feels a little bit more like fall, for sure.
Yeah, our lows last night were 65 here in Texas, so I'm looking forward to the cooler weather.
Yeah, we've had lows in the 50s in Chicago recently, and that's been welcome.
I don't see Jin here yet.
I just finished her. Let's see what says.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning. I am so sorry.
All right.
Morning.
I started reading the Biodiversity Heritage Library isn't going to be a Smithsonian anymore, so I started reading their blog posts about what they were going to do and got overly involved. Okay, so Shelley said she could keep notes, but that she was going to be a little bit late. So I will get in here and do that till she gets here. All right, liaison updates. Maccabee, do you want to say anything about CC?
So I mentioned one of the things that the licensing subgroup was working on was a list of questions specifically about LGPL issues and risks and benefits and making sure the community understands some of what we're some of the risks and they can do, the legal evaluation of that. Sorry, I'm not speaking clearly this morning. Not enough caffeine. Anyway, Peter briefed them, gave them a heads up of some of the questions that we'll be putting forward to them for that. And it'll be discussed at WolfCon. And then it was a very short community council meeting. Most of what they did was just talk about shoulder meeting topics for the CC and the tri-council meetings, at WolfCon.
Great, thanks. Christy, do you want to say anything about PC?
Sure. Most of the meeting was taken up by community priorities discussions, the data import SIG and the electronic resource management SIG both presented. Two things of note from the general discussion. One is there was general concern raised about the ramps and support timeline proposed in the recent TC proposal that went out, given that Trillium is being pushed back to spring 2026, and negotiating that gap that might be introduced. There was also it also came up that there's interest in synthesizing the three software proposals into a single proposal, given that there is a lot of overlap. And it's not clear to me who's actually going to be doing that work, but it did sound like that was going to be going forward.
Great. RMS, they met this morning and again talked about the Trillium release date and as well as upcoming CSPs, and a long discussion about the National Library of Sweden had been depending on the Trillium date, the previous Trillium date for their go live. And so now they're working out dates for CSPs that will get the features that National Library of Sweden needs into Sunflower instead, so that they can still go live in March. It sounds like they need to get those features in by November so that they have enough time to test before their go live. Okay, security team, I can see you typing. So.
Sorry, just a clarification on that. Was
Oh, yeah.
that like I saw some of that conversation. Was that at the stage of a request for some security patches to get those features in, or has there actually been agreement that that's the direction?
That is the agreement of the direction. Yeah, because they have to go live and Trillium won't be ready in time.
Thank you.
Yeah. My understanding was, I mean, it was a request originally, but the assumption was out of that request would come the agreement.
Yeah. So there's not like a firm agreement about the dates yet. But yeah. And there's also still a little discussion about the style of the patches, like whether maybe there'll be a patch that's like just NLS, or maybe it'll be like a regular CSP that just has that stuff in it. And they haven't worked out all those details yet. Okay, security team.
Yeah, there was a discussion about how we can fix Stripe's dependencies with vulnerabilities. And we contacted the Stripe's development team how to do this.
Great. Anything from Eureka?
No, nothing since last week. I think we have this week off from meeting with the early adopters, and then we meet next week.
Jason?
I was going to say there was a blurb I saw on a wiki article this morning with the, I guess, spike for Kong alternatives. Can you talk about that for a minute, Maccabee? I saw there was a few, I guess, finalists involved, and maybe there was an Apache that was going to be spiked first.
Sorry, I missed the first part of that, Jason. Could you? I'm sorry.
I think
Oh
that's
no, you're
exactly.
good. There was a wiki article I saw because there's a ticket out there. I think it's like Kong 33, where they did a spike to investigate alternatives to the Kong gateway since they were going to stop publishing OSS containers. And then I saw that there was a wiki article that was updated by I forget which team now, and they were going through some alternatives to Kong and going through the pros and cons and advantages, disadvantages, and feature sets. And I saw there was a few finalists. I'm gonna
Yeah, I
try
can speak to
to
that,
link.
Jason. So
I'll
that's
put the
work
link in the thing.
that Victor Gemma, he's a solution architect working with the Eureka team. He was doing that. We haven't discussed it yet. I think the spike findings were just published recently, like maybe even this morning. But I was actually just looking at that today. The approach that we're taking are we're looking at both at we had a spike to look at what's involved in building Kong from source. That wrapped up last week. But at the same time, we're also looking at potential alternatives, sort of hedging our bets here, making sure that we have a full picture, and then we can make a decision on what makes the most sense for the project. So we're still in the, I mean, the spikes are sort of wrapping up, but we haven't really had a chance to discuss what was found in the details yet. So decisions have not been made.
Gotcha. Thanks.
Okay, I think that brings us to community-driven development. I think we also had discussion about WolfCon last week. We also talked about that the issue around trying to combine the different proposals, and I believe that Jeremy and Stephen at TAMU were going to try to come up with a draft for our group to look at on Wednesday. That combines some of those two features together and see what that looks like. That would be like a proposal from our group of a way to combine them. So, anything else, Maccabee?
Nope.
Okay. WolfCon preparation, I just put this on for us. The chairs meet today and are going to talk about the agenda for the tri-council part of the shoulder meetings. So just wanted to give anybody who had anything in particular they'd like to, the chairs to get to. I know we talked about it when we had our actual tri-council meeting, but if there's anything on your mind that you want to make sure we talk about, just wanted to give you a chance to let us know. And you can do it in Slack too. We meet at 12:30, I think. Okay. Upcoming meetings. So here we're here regular. So we put down OST, particularly this discussion that was happening about SonarQube. But there's also this breaking changes discussion. But more than that, I'm wondering about the security team DR for the support periods, just because folks are talking about it now that it's out there, whether that should get bumped up in our rotation for Wednesday. Does anybody have opinions between these three things? I also have a question about the draft decision record for the support periods. Does that have the full support of the security committee? What is that coming from the security committee as a whole, I think is my question. If anybody from the security committee wants to speak to that.
Well, it has been discussed there, and there was no reservations, and but it has been produced by me. So there was no formal approval by the security team. So I think we can keep this as an TC decision record proposal.
Okay, thanks. I was trying to sort of understand what level of urgency there is around getting to it. Like, should we try to get to it sooner for security purposes? We might want to get to it sooner just because the community is talking about, but also wondering like how urgent the security group feels about it. Okay.
Sorry, Jen. I was typing in the chat. I missed your question, something about the security team wanting to weigh in on it. Is that what the question was?
I'm trying to understand if we should move it up on our schedule to talk about. Like, should we talk about it this week? Is it urgent? It's been brought up to other councils, so should we prioritize it more than the other topics we have potentially? And how the security team members feel about its level of urgency?
Well, at least the Remsen support period is urgent. That is part of this decision record.
Right. Alameda.
I'm not sure if we have this as a discussion topic, what we would talk about it. I think the feedback from the other community council, the other councils and the release group is important. So I'm doubting what the agenda of that discussion would be without feedback from those other groups. So unless if we know exactly what we would want to discuss about this, I would say we should wait for feedback from the other bodies.
Okay, so I'll just say that part of my reasoning about that is that it's the other councils are perceiving it as a TC proposal, which at this point the TC has not even discussed it, and I told them that, but it's still being perceived as a TC proposal. Julian?
Yeah, exactly. If nobody proceeds with it, and if all councils wait for the other councils, then we don't proceed. So we at least the TC should give a preliminary opinion on this.
Kevin?
I would say that the Ramsden's aspect of this proposal has some concerns regarding previous decisions with extending Ramsden's support release, and so that's an important discussion that should be had.
McAbee?
Yeah, I agree. It's an important discussion to have. I share the concerns about sort of the cross-council nature. I'm not sure if we can have a productive conversation about it or if we should without making sure folks from the other councils who are interested can be included, which could just be letting them know that we're chatting about this on Wednesday, or if people feel that's not enough notice, pushing it back to the week later. But I think this is a conversation that involves the security motivations on one side and maintenance and other motivations on the other side. And it's sort of hard to have one conversation without the other. So I would hope we have other voices in that meeting.
Okay. Given that, why don't we keep this OST topic for this week and put the decision record on for next week so that we have time to give people notice. And that would let others that want to participate come if we do it on the 17th. Okay. Sounds good. Okay. TCR board. Anything on TCR 56 today?
Yeah, I don't think it's ready for formal review yet, but there are a couple of criteria that I did have questions on and want to run by TC. So I don't know if we want to do that today or on another occasion. I think we are about almost 2 weeks into the 3 week period where we're supposed to be reviewing this. So yeah.
Maybe you should tell us the questions and we'll see whether they're big questions or little questions.
Okay, sounds good. Can I share screen?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, are people seeing the TCR?
Yes.
Okay. So, the first thing has to do with this criteria that we added for application formalization, where we say that this module should be assigned to exactly one application descriptor within the Folio Community LSP platform specified in the Jira task, blah, blah, blah. So it does belong to exactly one application descriptor, the App Mosaic descriptor, but App Mosaic is not specified as part of the Folio Community LSP platform. I could pull that up. Sorry. That's here. And so I'm just trying to figure out how we've dealt with this, if it's come up in the past. It seems like it's formally failing the criteria, but I don't know if I'm maybe misinterpreting or reading things too strongly. The in this platform description criteria, we have two applications listed as required and then a whole bunch listed as optional. In theory, I would expect to see perhaps at Mosaic listed here under the optional ones, but it's not. Alternately, I suppose I could see if it was listed as a nested dependency within one of these, that would do it, but it's not listed there either. So, yeah, that's my confusion. I see Julian's got his hand.
Is it on the snapshot environment?
The module is deployed to the snapshot environment, yes.
In the Eureka-based snapshot environment. So then
Oh,
this would
wait.
be.
That I don't know. I was looking at the traditional snapshot environment. I don't know specifically the Eureka one.
So I thought the criteria was only about the application and not about the platform.
This is how it
I
reads.
see, but we included the. I see. It seems like that was clarifying and not a requirement, the platform piece, Craig.
Yeah, at Mosaic does exist. It's in the e-testing snapshot environment. Looks like at Mosaic 1.1.0 snapshot is what's there right now. So there is an application descriptor for it. I don't know off the top of my head how KitFox is building this. They may or may not be using that LSP platform repository. So I'll need to get some details from KitFox on that one.
Yeah, thanks, Craig. And that mirrors, what Nikita said as well, that it was in the e-testing snapshot environment, which explains how it's being deployed. So I get that on a technical level. I'm trying to remember back why we specifically, we're always trying to come up with easily actionable criterion, right? And this is what we came up with for an easily actionable criterion. So the question is it the wrong easily actionable criterion? Is there a different platform we should be pointing at or something else?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I'll check with KitFox on it.
Todd?
My recollection is that the heart of the criteria was that a module cannot belong to more than one application. That the application ownership, a module can't belong to two applications at once. So it seems like that part of it is met. It's one of the questions that I would. The first thing that I thought of when you were talking about this is this a chicken and egg problem where it can't go into the community platform until the modules are approved? So that was the question that I, so that's what I was wondering, is this a chicken and egg problem? But in terms of being only part of one applicant app, that part at least is solid.
Right. No, that I agree on. But like I could create an app in my own repository somewhere, like not even in the fully edited repository. I could create one called, app-maccabee, and I could include this module in there, and then I'd be breaking the rules or something like that, maybe it's moot, maybe we don't care about the platform part. But I think we put that in to sort of limit the scope to the community platform, as opposed to anyone else who's building another platform where they could combine things differently, right? And that was okay because the councils were only concerned with the community platform, and that platform LSP project was how we were trying to define it. So I think there was a reason that we did this, but it's not 100% clear to me. Jen.
Yeah, I think what I was going to say mostly aligned with what you were saying, which is what's the motivation to submit an application that's not going to be the part of the community platform? But I assume what it is really is that they're mostly using the community platform and they want to make sure that this one other thing that they're adding will work with it and has gone through TC just like the rest of their platform. It does make sense. Like, right, so this is an application that's essentially for a service that EBSCO offers. And it makes sense that they have thoughts about how they want to release it or where they think it's going to get built. That seems outside of our, that doesn't seem like it should matter to us. So yeah, I wonder if it's about just clarifying the requirement around the LSP platform, or they hold it back until they're ready to put in the LSP platform. I don't know.
If that's, and I see Shelley, your hand, I was just going to say, if that's the consensus that this is just, a badly written criterion, then I can check that box and just add it as a note to revise the criteria later. Sorry, Shelley.
I was gonna say that as somebody who is trying to get our development environment up running Eureka and looking at the platform LSP repo for the application descriptors and trying to figure out what modules should be included in app platform minimal and app platform complete and all those versions, any kind of confusion that Maccabee, if you're confused if that app or module is supposed to be here or there or where it's supposed to be, I'm going to be confused and annoyed by it trying to set up a system. So that's my input.
Kevin.
I'm wondering if this requirement relates to how Eureka doesn't allow modules to exist in multiple applications.
Yes. Oh, it definitely does. It's just a matter of that statement itself not potentially being broad enough, because again, like anyone out there in the world could create another application that includes that module. And it doesn't matter if there are two different applications that include the same module if those applications are not being bundled into the same platform, right? It's only a problem in the same platform, as I understand it. So I think that's what we were going for there, but we didn't specify it clearly. Anyway, I appreciate the input on that. I will check that box and write up a note for the feedback on the bottom. The other criterion I wanted clarification on is this one relating to the Stripes version on the OST page? So there's two things about this. First, I think we used to, in a previous version of this criterion, specify which OST page that we were talking about as opposed to the OST page. And I have to go back into the history and see if I'm right about that and why we're not anymore. But then, so this module requires at least 10. Trillium requires 10.1 or greater. Sunflower requires 10.0 or greater. So I know that this terminology, right, allows for 10.1, but I'm not sure if saying in the module 10.0 or greater is literally using the Stripes version 10.1, if that makes sense. Julian?
Yeah, you can either use the flower release version that is in development, or that one that has been recently released, because sometimes then the development one hasn't been bumped to.
Okay, so in this case, I could consider it to be using the Sunflower releases, which then 10.0 would be accurate.
Yes. And
Okay.
they need to bump it then the later.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much, Julian. That's helpful. Then I guess one more thing that I checked, but I was just going to run by the group anyway for the good old licenses check. And again, this is we're evaluating this module outside of the context of the subgroup that's trying to make this process better, just using existing process, right? So the only regular dependency, excluding dev dependencies and peer dependencies, is a first party dependency. It's not there's not any third party dependencies in that list. So is that an automatic check for that box, or do dev and peer dependencies have to be considered as well? Our initial guess is it's just the direct dependencies, and if no one tells me otherwise, then that's an easy one. I did some work already to evaluate the dev and peers, and that's creates more challenges.
I can't figure out how to raise my hand in Zoom here, but I would say it has to, a dependency is a dependency, whether it's development or peer or direct. So I would say it 100% applies to everything.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you, Zach. And then, as another clarification, are we looking just at the direct first level dependencies and their licenses, or the nested dependencies of those dependencies and their licenses as well?
I'm not a lawyer. I would say run yarn install, which should give you dev dependencies, peer dependencies, and direct dependencies, and evaluate what you find in that log file, because that's going to tell you the things that are either used in development when developing and testing this module, or used in production, which is what end users will have, which will be the peer and direct.
No, that's helpful. Thank you. Yeah, I did that, and so I have a quite a bit of a list of licenses that I'm not sure about. So I appreciate that. I will go back and do a little more analysis, and then share an update at the next TC meeting. One more question. I'm still waiting for the product council to actually list this functionality. I know that they approved it. People have said here that they approved it, but they haven't yet listed it on this wiki page. And I noticed that nothing's been listed on this wiki page since January, I think. And I think they moved to a Jira board instead of this wiki page, but it wasn't listed on the Jira board last time we looked at that either. Or rather, it was, but it hadn't been listed there as approved. So, just from other folks who have done reviews recently, are you still looking at this page, or are you looking at the Jira board, or neither? Todd, you had an answer for me, and then you took your hand down. That's sad.
I was just going to offer to take this back to take the question back to PC, but it seemed like there was more discussion to have first.
Does anyone else know what their deal is with that? Like here it seems to be in review, right? I think this is where they're doing it now, but they haven't actually approved it. Okay. If no one knows, I'll just reach out to the PC. I appreciate that, Todd. I'll reach out because I don't want to hold up the module review. This is something they clearly have verbally approved. I think we just need to tweak our criterion so that wherever they say they've approved it, they're clear and we can just follow what they're actually doing. Kevin?
I was trying to remember what I did in my recent review, and now that you've shown this board, I remember I did not know about this project board, so I probably used the other page when I did that. So my review from a month or two ago.
Right. Oh yeah, it's confusing because the this list doesn't say anywhere like ignore it to look in the Jira project instead, if that's indeed what we're supposed to do. Okay, I'll reach out with the question. I think that's it for this for right now, but I'll probably need some more time at the next Monday.
Great, thank you. You're still in the hot seat because the next thing is existing module evaluation. Are there any updates here?
That would be me.
My, oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, that would be me, not Matt to be. I hit a roadblock with mod copycat. So need to select another module in that Google Doc sheet, that Google Sheet, and reach out to the PO So we have a front-end module, but no back-end module right now.
Sorry, is that something you want to discuss here or something that you're going to work on?
No, I would just select another backend module from the range in that Google Sheets and reach out to the POs. So nothing to discuss.
Okay, thanks. All right, subgroup updates. Got updates last week, so there might not be much today. Anything new from licensing other than the CC update?
Well, just briefly, I suppose I mentioned last week that we were developing essentially two sets of questions. We already talked about the one for the CC about LGPL issues, and the other one we sent to the security team a couple days ago. Thank you, Craig, for being the liaison that. Essentially, where as part of figuring out the tools that can be best positioned to do these license evaluations, we're delving into those tools a little bit further. And as to that aspect of it, thanks to Julian, there's been a lot of good setup and testing of SEMGREP for license evaluation. And we just had a bunch of questions on sort of the relationship there of whether the security team sees it as part of their purview to do these license evaluations, or if it's just a coincidence that security team was looking at SEMGREP for security, and you know, it does this as well. And then there are some questions that follow on that about the way that license configuration is managed in SEMGREP and visibility for evaluations that are going on and things like that are less about like what can SEMGREP do in theory, but more how would it work in our project specifically and our workflows. So appreciate the security team looking at those and getting back with some responses. Thank you.
Thanks. Anything new from documentation?
No, nothing new. We will meet this Wednesday to go over the feedback on the information architecture text file that was shared in the Slack channel. So if you haven't had a chance to look at it, try to look at it before we meet this Wednesday afternoon. Give some feedback. And thank you all for those who have given feedback.
Oops, sorry. I didn't realize I was muted. I said thank you to Shelley if I was muted when I said that. Okay. Florian is not here, so I think we can skip discussion of this one. And the support period we've already talked about, we're gonna do that on a Wednesday. OST, looks like we have a to-do item from last time. When we make changes to the OST, how do we inform the Folio community? And I think Alameda was going to post in Slack channels. Was where we ended up. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yeah, there's a page in the top in the OST page that has like a section for communication plan, and that has some Slack channel. But a part of it too is reaching out to specific meetings, whether that's release management or the sysops, to say, hey, there's a major change in the OST, and let's see how to make that work. So I think right now it's the RMS group and sysops. I'm not aware of any other group, but overall, I've not been able to get to this item.
Okay. If you need any of us to help with the RMS group, we definitely have at least a couple of us that go both to this meeting and that meeting. So just let me know, especially if it's like at a time that you can't do or something, I'm happy to do it.
Yeah, it's the plan that, you know, I would be coming up with. So at any point when we have a change, we would decide whether we want to reach out to those groups and then reach out.
Got it. I see. Okay. Okay, that's the end of the agenda. I happen to know that CC ended after 15 minutes today, and now we're potentially ending 15 minutes early. It's a remarkable day. Does anybody have anything they want to talk about in the last 15 minutes?
I have a quick question. It's just where do I find the recordings for the meetings once the meeting's over?
I'm getting the link.
Okay.
That's why I'm silent. Just one sec.
Julian put it in the chat.
Oh,
Thank
good. Okay.
you. Thank you.
Awesome.
Just notice, Shelley, on that page that Tech Council is listed not under Folio Tech Council, so it's not alphabetical the way all the others are.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you Wednesday to talk about the OST some more.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.